Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Our guest tonight is Tan Sri Shahrir Abdul Samad. He was the Minister of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs in 2008, held the seat of Johor Bahru up till the 2018 general elections, and was the former chairman of the Barisan National Backbenchers Club. Observers have credited him as being an influential figure in UMNO politics. So he joins us on the show today to help us better understand the internal dynamics within the party amid rumours of UMNO taking over the position of Prime Minister. Shahrir, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. We appreciate your time. Now, my first question to you is whether a UMNO Prime Minister is a certainty at this point in time.
I think nobody knows, right? It is, 4 p.m., but nobody knows. I think the process has to go through as determined by the palace, and we all will wait with bated breath. But as far as UMNO is concerned, I mean, we have never failed our leaders, right? When it comes to a point like this, UMNO decided, okay, the decision to appoint, to select a single name as dictated by the procedure and as required by the palace, you nominate a single name. So we, as the party, I think correctly said, okay, the members of parliament, you're the ones who are going to sign the SD. We give this responsibility to you. You decide who you want to name as the nominee for that position. So generally, well, I mean, basically, UMNO has not blocked anybody, has not failed any of its leaders. We have given, we have supported all our leaders. And in spite of, disagreements over the issues of parliament, issues of the palace, the issue of the palace and the government and so on, we are very firmly on track as far as we are, as UMNO is concerned. We are firmly on track. We defend the constitutional monarch, and we defend parliamentary democracy.
But sure, can I ask you about this? Because what we hear in news reports is that Ismail Sabri is the man. This is slightly unprecedented because he's not president of the party. And in terms of the hierarchy of the party, he's not particularly high up either. And also, he represents UMNO within Perikatan Nasional. How do all those elements make him the right choice at this point in time?
In the first place, he is the man in the right place, right? At this particular time. And it is an unusual situation, right, from GE14. So these unusual circumstances will, of course, create unusual circumstances where it is important that that as a party, as a political party, we should be consistent in what we fight for or what we stand for. Now, that's most important. Members of parliament are not used to a situation where they have a party, for example, which may have a different view from them, right? Members of parliament, although they are party members, you notice that there have been, say, only 15 or 14 members of parliament who decided that they should resign or express no confidence in the prime minister. That was the decision by the party. But that doesn't mean that there is a situation where UMNO feels it is uncomfortable with that situation, because when the time came to nominate a candidate for the Prime Minister, we allowed the members of parliament themselves to make a decision. And that was...
Okay, and are all the members of parliament, all UMNO MPs, united? Are there dissenting voices?
No,
is there a kind of unity?
There is complete unity. We do not have another candidate, just one single candidate, and this was decided by the members of parliament. So I think consistently, I think UMNO, the UMNO Supreme Council, or the party itself, which represents the party, has decided based on the belief that, okay, for parliamentary democracy to work, then it is the members of parliament who then should decide and endorse the government or whatever decision that you may have to make. Like in this case, to nominate a candidate for being prime minister, for premier, it is the members of parliament who are asked to sign the affidavits or make their state their choice. The party was not asked to do it.
Right. Can I ask you this? Because, as you said, the party wasn't asked, the party leaders were not asked by the monarch and the deputy Agong for numbers yesterday. But I understand UMNO youth chief Ashraf Wajdi Dosuki has come out to suggest that, Ismail Sabri can't proceed as if this was a continuation of a Perikatan national government. He put some conditions on it. I don't know how influential UMNO Youth is at this point in time, but what was in that message, do you think, to Ismail Sabri about what happens next if he becomes prime minister?
Well, does he want to be a prime minister who will then be dictated by his other supporters, you see, because we do not have the numbers ourselves. We need more than 42 members of parliament to get to beyond 111. So certainly it will require a great skills for the nominee that we have placed for him to be able to say whether he can even get the name of the government, right, to be changed from Perikatan Nasional. Does he want to retain Perikatan Nasional? Because you have Perikatan Nasional, which comprises of Pribumi, as well as PAS, which is about the same numbers as even more than UMNO. So then, of course, it will be important for him to listen to what UMNO wants, right? The party says.
What do you want, Tan Sri Sharon? What do you want? Do you want a continuation of the name of Perikatan Nasional? Do you want a Barisan Nasional 2.0? What is it that you're hearing from grassroots?
2.0 will be what 13.0, right? Or 14.0. But anyway, what I really want is a cabinet which is small and focused on the problems that the country faces, which is basically public health and the economy. This is what I think everybody wants, that you have a government that is small, not 80, you know, ministers and deputy ministers. But the problem with coalition governments is that you have to give positions to everybody. So in the end, who will defend the government in parliament? Parliament is important. So who will stand up for parliament? I mean, you can't have ministers or deputy ministers arguing with the opposition bench, you know. There must be some in the back bench who are able to speak, right, and defend the government or stand up and confront the other side. But of course, now everybody understands that the problems are so huge, right, that you need to have a real attempt to even change our approach towards tackling COVID and tackling the economy.
Do we have the talent, though? I mean, Tansri, do we have the talent? Do we have enough politicians who understand the complexity of the issues, are not going to trot out platitudes about an industry, revolution 4.0 and all the kind of, things that politicians like to repeat without, or herd immunity now would be the great platitude. Do we have the talent to create the nimble cabinet that you talk about?
We have the talent to fill up seats, right? But let me put it this way. As a politician, the first thing you should be able to do is to be able to listen to others who know the subject better. And if you go back to 16 June, when the rulers met at Istana Negara, their statement is interesting. The statement that was issued by the Keeper of the Royal Seal was so fascinating, because they acknowledge these are seven things, issues which are, you know, which everybody agrees on, number one, number two, is up to seven, and they are in agreement with seven other items. And the first is the lives of the people must be the first and most important thing to be done. And if and nobody reads it, how, why shouldn't, why? And it goes even better. Number five, for example, it says, you must be prepared to ask and listen. You must be inclusive. You know, you must be able to change and innovate. If it doesn't work, something doesn't work, you can change it. So the press statement, the media statement that was issued after the 16 June meeting came after the meeting of all the rulers together with the king. So, and I would imagine, you know, if you are going to be a government and you have this the monarchs issuing a statement and telling you number one, number two, number three, number four, which is about COVID, and then listen, you know, be inclusive, find out, you know, if change and innovate. This is so important. Right.
So okay, I'm just wondering whether
we have talent who are able to go into IR4 and all that. I mean, I am not. I've been minister, right? But I also have to listen to others. You know, I've got a very interesting incident. When I wanted to change the grade of petroleum, you know, grade of petroleum that was being sold at a particular time, it was just, I think, 93, I think. Mm-hmm. Then it was this, and I called Paul Tan. You know Paul Tan? I mean, Paul Tan is an automotive.
Right.
You know, and I say, oh, is that you? Are you sure? Are you Datuk Sharif? I want to ask your opinion. I think, can we have two grades of petrol, 97 and 95? And they say, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, but it's so important to admit that you do not know enough.
I understand.
Okay, and I'm a generalist.
I'm gonna have to interject here and ask you a question that I've been thinking about, and I'm sure on the minds of many. Where exactly do you see Zahid Hamidi and Najib Razak in a future UMNO-led administration? Will they have a role in power?
I think they'll be tied up in courts in the courts for a long time, right? But that does not stop them from taking a position in the party or being a party. But I think it is. I would imagine by now they would probably have, or they may not have announced it, that they realize that UMNO leaders who have court cases will not be standing for elections in the next election. They will not be standing in the next election. I assume, you know, and I've been telling Dato' Sri Najib, you know, perhaps we should think of something else. Political involvement should not be in parliament. I myself will not be standing because I've got three court cases that I have to face and settle. You know, and I know it's not going to be over very soon. But it's not fair for the party if someone like me, you know, who has a court case, that we offer ourselves as candidates. So I don't think that either Zahid or Najib should offer themselves as candidates in the next election. And that's where it is so important for them to understand and for people to understand that it is not the same situation again. That, as I said in the interview with Edin, I said, you know, that the concentration of power is not being Prime Minister and Finance Minister. Concentration of power is if you are Prime Minister as well as the President. And that's why UMNO may have to decide how do you separate the position and the responsibilities of the President and the responsibility of governance. See, there are two separate things, because no other Prime Minister in the world, you know, has to have to do this kind of thing, that they have got to go out and meet the party leaders and then at the same time govern this country. So we have to move forward to a situation that a political party has to exist as a political party in complete capabilities and ability to even formulate policies and to, you know, and to
right.
and to be more than just, you know, to just be dependent as a ruling party.
So this okay, we're going to take a quick break, Tansri, but let's come back and continue this conversation. There's still so much to cover. We will take a quick break and be right back here and Consider This. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Alyssa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. Let's continue our conversation with UMNO veteran Tansri Sharis Samad. Tansri, you've publicly criticised the Perikatan National Government before and been quoted in the press. And I'm just wondering what the basis of your concerns, your criticisms are. Is it purely the failing, your perception of the failings of the previous administration to manage the pandemic? What are you most concerned about, or what are you? What is the basis of your criticism for the PN government?
The single most, the biggest mistake they ever did, to me, the biggest mistake they did was to suspend parliament. I think in a crisis, you need more heads. You know, you need unity. You need everybody to get on the same page and to be with you on this and handling the pandemic and also how. How to solve the economic problem and the hardship of the people. You know, we have a crisis. If you can't recognize that it is a crisis, there's a big problem. And then you have a crisis and you do not wish to use, you know, as representatives of the people. We are the members of parliament. Those in parliament are representing the people. The people have made a choice. Okay, now you have established yourself as a government. But why do you want to suspend parliament?
Tansri, answer that question though? Why? Considering Tansri Muhyiddin Yassin is a former UMNO member, you must know him very well as a person. Art Aharon, who is the Speaker of the House, used the standing orders in an unprecedented way to stifle Parliament, or at least to silence it. He said on instructions from the executive. Why did they do that?
I don't know. I mean, I think I asked Art Aharon the same question. I say, why can't Prime Minister or ministers just approach and sit down with every other member of Parliament, right? Get everybody on the same page, get everybody together. You may argue, you may have to share information. But to say that I do not wish to be disturbed by all these politicians, you are forgetting that you yourself as a politician.
Isn't Ismail Sabri also part of the executive? Isn't Ismail Sabri also part of the Perikatan National Administration?
Yes.
Wasn't he responsible for suspending Parliament as well?
Yes, I'm so disappointed that no minister I ever met during this time, you know, ever worried, was ever concerned that parliamentary democracy was suspended. The parliament was suspended. I'm so disappointed. I mean, I met two ministers in the whole duration, and they were acting as though, we are ministers, that's it. I mean, they're not concerned, and they are Democrats. They're supposed to be Democrats. UMNO is a democratic party. We are the ones who wanted parliamentary democracy. We are the ones who wanted constitutional monarchy, right? And we are the ones who supported the constitution.
So, Tansri, we go back to the choice of Ismail Sabri then.
Question?
If Ismail Sabri is so associated with the Perikatan National Government that, in fact, bypassed Parliament, as you say, an egregious sin for any Democrat, how can he today stand as UMNO's candidate for Prime Minister? With all the associations he had with the Perikatan National Government.
Now he can't blame Tansri Muhyiddin, can he? He can't blame anybody else. And because even the palace insists that he should take a vote of confidence if he is the man who's going to be named as Prime Minister. So, I mean, sometimes there is a role for the palace. I mean, the palace says, the palace was very consistent. Agong was very consistent. He wants the parliament to meet 3 times, right? Until the 16th of June, he got his brother rulers together with him and insisted that parliament should meet. Emergency should end, right? I mean, with all that in the happening in the recent, very recently, and you are going to be a potential prime minister, and if PN and the government, the same government comes back, and you repeat the same mistakes, and you do the same, have the same attitude, I'm sorry for you. You know, you have not learning from what is being said and what is happening. That's why I said, if everyone should, if you are a minister and all the rulers issued a common statement and said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you should remember it by heart. You know, because this is a public document, is coming from the very top, you know, and this monarch who are so sheltered in the palace. Don't tell me that ministers now are more sheltered than the rulers. We complain about, you know, the monarch, they are isolated in their palace and so on and so forth. What do they know about what the people are suffering from? Yeah, you are elected reps and you are a minister. And you continue to to isolate yourself and insulate yourself from all this and deny that there's a problem. And you know that it is not working. Cases are going up, deaths are increasing, economy is, I mean, people want to work, right? People want to work because
yes,
it is in you. I mean, you are lucky, you're working. You know, I'm lucky because yeah. I'm being paid.
And I'm very grateful for the job. That's really, yeah, can I ask you to address speculation that a minister mentor position could be created soon for women? Could you address those rumors?
That is a mess. I mean, why do you bring back a prime minister whose leadership has failed? Do you need to? But if it is the deal that Ismail Sabri has made, just so that he can get the total support from all the component parties of the previous government, then I'm so sorry for him. But UMNO is consistent. You know, we have given you the mandate to decide, the MPs to decide on who you want as the candidate for parliament, for a prime minister. And we still have, you know, it is, we are still, we have not changed. We are not being corrupted
So very quickly, because we're running out of time, what are the the red lines for you? Is there any possibility that what we will see happen in the coming days is not a resurrection of the Perikatan Nasional, but something new, nimble?
I wish he will then exhibit whoever is prime minister, right? Whoever is prime minister. I think whoever is prime minister would have to respond to the situation, create a nimble, in your words, a nimble cabinet focused on the problems of this country. This is what we have to do as elected representatives. That's why the people gave us the mandate. But if you don't exercise it and your style is going to be the same, right? You have a reputed mentor minister to help you. Where are you going? I mean, I'm sorry, you know, I have my other concerns and interests. I want to make sure that I win, my party wins the next election, and I for sure will want to see some changes. If you fail as a minister, and then you certainly cannot be the poster boy and hope to be the poster boy for Barisan Nasional.
Thank you so much for speaking with us on the show tonight. That was our conversation with Tan Sri Sharif Samad, and that wraps up this episode of Consider This. Don't forget to get the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines on astroawani.com as well as our Astro Awani app. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night. Thank you, Tan Sri.